Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour. Joining me is Pat and John. If you missed the first hour, we began a conversation that we've been wanting to have. We're waiting for the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, FDLE, to be able to come back with their investigation. It's back now. To be able to find out, you know, what happened with Mr. Middleton, Roy Middleton, in Escambia County with being shot at 15 times. We're going to have an interview coming up with Captain David Alexander, also assistant pastor at his church in Pensacola as well. And just stay tuned for that. But right now, as in Israel, there are signs pointing to what's happening, man.
Yeah, you know, Joe Rosenberg, who's really on the front lines for standing for Israel, just wrote an amazing article that was published in Charisma News. Mm-hmm. And, you know, September the 30th, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is coming to the United States. He's actually going to meet with the president. If you remember,
that's in a few days, right?
A few days, because if you remember this time last year, because October the 1st, he's going to be at the United Nations General Assembly. This time last year, the president was too busy to meet with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Too busy.
Right.
And he was not able to take any of his meetings.
Lord, forgive us. God,
Lord,
have
forgive
mercy
us. Is right.
On America.
Well, if you remember last year, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu gave the red line as to these chemical weapons in Iran.
That's when he held up that picture of that round old cartoonish-looking bomb.
But
we remember it, don't we?
We sure do.
Sure do.
We sure do. And what he writes, Joel writes, that the Prime Minister's main goal, his mission here, is to persuade the U.S. and Western powers to intensify, not ease, up their pressure on Iran to give up their pursuit of nuclear weapons. And this has been ongoing. And if you can remember, there's been a few times where we thought that the Prime Minister was really about to strike Iran. There were several of those instances, and they didn't materialize. And what media reports are, you know, things that are coming out now, it's interesting because you got to pay attention, you know. Israel's not one. They're not bluffing. They say what they mean, you know, and they're going to follow through on what they say. But
I've learned that, by the way, when I was in law enforcement, that it was the people of small stature that realized that they had to throw the first blow.
Fast and hard.
Yeah, and you would think it was the bigger folks that were going to hurt you on the street, but the bigger folks knew that they were just more gentile and docile. But the small ones realize, you know, that I got to fight. I got to fight fast, and I got to hit hard because it might be the only. And that's Israel.
That's Israel.
I mean, it's only 90 miles wide at its widest point, and it has all this Arab League around it, and not even America is not even meeting with them, what, 30 days ago?
I mean, 30, a year ago.
And all
ago.
This has happened. That's when Jerusalem was booed.
Right.
It was the very same time that Jerusalem was booed by Americans about being recognized in the platform for America as the capital of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And we booed God 12 months ago. We dissed God 12 months ago. And we even showed up to Jacob's children, to Israel's children, young people, and provoked them and tried to start a spring.
You need to listen to that. You really need to listen to that segment. We're going to make that related because this is the first time the president actually visited Israel as a U.S. president.
Yeah.
He hadn't done that in his first administration, did that as a when he was campaigning. And, you know, the first part of that speech,
we were suckered in. We were like, we were
pumped. But I've never heard such glowing statements ever from a U.S. president.
And so you'll hear us. I mean, we're just so excited. We're thinking he's saying everything that is going to be supportive of Israel and America and good and great.
We're thinking this is the,
we're cheering, weren't we?
Yes. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So take that into context when you listen to it, because if you listen all of a sudden when he kind of defaults at the end, it's like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. Here we are. The whole world now, full circle, 12 months later after booing and dissing and trying to create a youthful spring with the old folks who are now passing away, you know, summarizing the speech. It's time for you to rise up.
Rise up.
And take the new
didn't hand. Speak to the Knesset, didn't speak to the leaders, but chose to speak to the young people.
That's right.
In a far, you know, leaning.
A professor.
Yeah.
A professor, you know, who becomes president, chooses to go to the colleges, and...
Would we even tolerate someone coming to the United States of that stature and not wanting to speak with the president or any members of Congress, and then go to Berkeley, let's say in College Berkeley out there in California, mm-hmm. and give a speech that would rouse the young people to come against
yes.
those leaders.
We would. No, we would. They did it. They did it with Ahmadinejad with Columbia
That's
University.
Right. That's right.
You know, and when he can't fill in some of these tenured professors who are his friend, they fill in. And yeah, so yeah, we would.
Yeah.
We would.
I guess we would.
It's sad
guess
to say.
We would.
We would.
Sad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, back in 2010, the media were reporting that then the prime minister and defense minister, Ehud Barak, they were really in agreement about striking Iran. Mm-hmm. They were going to do this. And you notice that, you know, things have backed down. Well, apparently the head of the Mossad, which is my understanding, is like they're maybe the equivalent to the CIA in Israel. Mm-hmm. Really some
kind of SEAL Team 6 combo.
Man,
CIA,
those guys are,
yeah, right.
You don't mess with the Mossad. They're some serious folks.
No.
They will come get you.
No, yeah.
If you remember the what happened in one of the Olympics, there was a Mossad that went out and killed almost every single one of those terrorists that took out the Israeli team.
Right.
It was
oh, wow.
the Mossad that went out there to do that.
Well, United Arab Emirates, they went to, they were just,
right.
you know, one of the terrorists checked into one of their those big, huge places there.
Let's just
hotel.
Say he didn't check out.
He didn't check out. And they're just going like, how did this happen? Where did they come from?
Listen, that's right.
Not only do you want to be Israel's friend because you're God's friend when you're Israel's friend, and you want to bless Israel because God will bless you,
mm-hmm.
but you don't want Israel against you.
No.
It's amazing.
They're peaceful people, but they're not going to stand for you pushing their buttons and poking them in the eye. They're just not going to stand for it. And
when your kin folks have been put into concentration camps, ghettos, and ovens, when people are trying to push you in the sea, everything that's being preached in all these mosques that are surrounding you, saying that they're infidels, along with Americans as well, the great Satan and the mm-hmm. small Satan, they call us, and we're the big Satan mm-hmm. to them, then you got to be tough.
Hey.
You got to be, and because by the way, you can read ahead. It's not going to be pretty for the enemies of Israel, and at the very end, we'll be judged by that. But you think that President Bill Clinton would have had a conversation, because I know that the former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton's really close to President Barack Obama, and you think she would have shared with the president, you don't want to diss the prime minister. Because remember,
yes.
I don't want to talk in details about that, but he actually, all he did was make him stay across the street. He didn't let him stay in the White House.
Hmm.
And then all of a sudden, the grace that was covering his administration was lifted momentarily. And
that's
then,
right.
you know, it was. It was just, it just all depends what it is, began to just unfold. And then prior to that, it wasn't that he's perfect. Anybody's perfect. It's God just removed the grace off of you.
That's right.
And listen, if God pulls the grace off of us, we can't even tie our shoes.
That's right.
And he just did what he did. I'm just too busy. I can't meet with you. And that's when he shows up at the United Nations probably and makes that speech and says, the future must not belong to those who blaspheme
the
prophet of Islam.
I believe so, yes.
Which is where Pastor Assad is right now in the Iranian prison, this moment.
Yes.
Because he actually said Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and he's not denying Jesus, and they're calling him a blasphemer.
Which, by the way, he's still not denying Jesus. My understanding is that he has led, I think, 30 people to the Lord in prison. Pastor.
Awesome.
Yeah, Saeed,
awesome.
I'm amazing what's happening over there.
You got to let me. We're giving you a biblical perspective, and so what John is sharing, this is so important because we're looking at they're on the edge of fixing to have to respond, right?
Yeah. So this is back in 2010. They take wisdom and say, okay, you know, we're not in full agreement. We're going to back off from this thing. It's 2010. Well, last month it was reported and it was confirmed that Netanyahu, again in 2012, in the fall of 2012, was about to strike. And this was when he came and drew the red line.
Mm-hmm.
And shortly after that, he gave a time frame from the summer to the spring that there was going to be a strike. Maybe they thought they may do it in the fall. But according to what was reported, allegedly President Obama had pressured him not to attack, not to do this, especially during the campaign. And Israel, once again, backs off. But what they're realizing now is that the United States doesn't mean, this administration doesn't mean what they say. And if they're not going to go deal with Syria, what's going on has become such a mess that they're realizing that they're absolutely all alone. They knew that, but this is like a clear confirmation. And what's being reported is that this meeting, this meeting that the prime minister is going to have Benjamin Netanyahu with the president September the 30th, and also when he speaks October the 1st at the United Nations General Assembly, is basically going to be just kind of the warning, putting it out there, building his case, because strike is going to be pretty soon. This is what's being reported, but it's now they're realizing
and
that.
And Charisma.
Yeah, this Charisma News is reporting this. Joel Rosenberger in his blog, but this is that, and we're coming to it.
What's so important, too, about this biblical perspective is that when Israel's all alone and they have to respond alone, and when they're surrounded on every side like a trembling cup, that God's about to show himself mighty.
Yeah.
And he is going to respond to those who are coming against Israel.
That's right.
And we can't, for some reason in America, we don't think every American's an American. For some reason, we actually divided people up in parties. We divided people up in all kinds of groups. And God just sees us as one nation, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't say, oh, those are New Yorkers, or those are Texans, or, you know, those are, and you name some political party. No, those are Americans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when we have our leaders of America, right, our American leaders, going to Israel and doing what you're saying, then that's America doing that to Israel.
That's right.
You can't disassociate yourself from the reality of what we just allowed to happen. How can 300 some odd... Tell me the population of America.
It's like 350 million.
350 million people blame where our country is going on 530 people in Washington, D.C. Listen, this is a representative government. This is America. America has ships right now floating in the Mediterranean, partnering with the former head of the Ottoman Empire, who just fired all of his generals and replaced them because the generals would always fight for the Constitution in Turkey when radical Islam would try to come in, but he just fired him reportedly across the line, according to CBN News. And now, here we are, you know, north of everything, the whole northern parts of Israel, northern countries of Israel, where the enemy is supposed to come down, and Gog and Magog, the prince of Gog and Magog, Vladimir Putin, the Russian president, that's Russia and Moscow, has now come and, quote, saved the day, and our America, which if you say, if our leader, that's you, that's us, it's America. Yeah. We said, not only is it good, but after bowing down to the king of Saudi Arabia, where Mecca is a hole in the ground that according to the Quran, they're waiting for a beast to come out to be able to put a mark on them, to be able to identify that they're right, which is the antithesis of the gospel of Jesus, Revelation, by the way,
because
Jesus don't come from a hole in the ground. He comes from the sky. That we have partnered with and embraced anti-God. We've embraced it. We've actually partnered with and fellowshiped with. Listen, if you don't think it's bad, look at Jehoshaphat and Ahab. The wrath of God came against a good king because he chose the wrong partner. And they both were Jews. Well, Leslie, I'll tell you right now that who we've embraced, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood, the Islam, Arab League, CARE, and some others that we'll be talking about, that you understand, that's different. It's not like, you know, the other religions that, you know, come
we're
up with some methodology of trying
guns.
To, you know, yeah, that you're talking to somebody that's the antithesis of the Word of God, which means when we believe our Savior is coming from the sky and the beast is coming from the ground, they believe the beast is coming from the sky, Satan's coming. Well, Jesus is coming from the sky to repent for calling himself the Son of God, to assist the beast that's coming out of the ground in Mecca. That walking around a circle, because there's a hole under that tent building thing in the middle of Mecca there, and they just truly believe he's going to come out. So what we know to be true, they think it's right. They think
it's good
to have a mark on you.
That's
and so
right.
They're running around, look at my mark, 666. Hey, I just want to let you know I'm right. I'm like, oh my. And this is why they and I think it's Rosenberg that begins to talk about that. This is why they bought into this false belief system that they can make war with the Messiah, because they have been convinced that Jesus will come back, and but he will be wrong,
mm-hmm.
and they're you know, Quranic beast, you know, Mahi, you know, whatever comes out and begins to make war. They begin to make war against Jesus.
So this is their religion. They have to make war. That's their religion.
Yeah. Because he comes again. And the thing is that it just goes to show you how much God depends on you for finding out what's right with him, and how you can't just go, I love Jesus, and that's it. You know, right. I believe that Jesus exists. Well, Satan believes he exists. He's planning on making war against him. Yeah, so just believing that he exists. And Satan knows he's the son of God.
Yeah.
That's why he hates him. And demons believe he exists, and they tremble. So this false bill of goods that's been sold today to the church, saying that all you got to do is know Jesus' name or how to spell it, you know, say it in three languages or something, versus following him. Somebody says, well, I follow Jesus. Well, you have to understand this. Jesus is the Word of God. And the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. If you follow this Jesus that you claim to follow, but you don't even get in his Word to find out what his Word is, you're not following the Word. You're following your perception of who Jesus is. Because he says, I am the Word made flesh, living by the proceeding Word of God. When you confess Jesus, you're not confessing the name Jesus. You're not confessing the Son of Jesus. You're confessing the Word of God. You're saying what God said to say.
Yeah.
It's the Word of God. It's the only book that comes with the author. That's why the people can't mess it up if you can get it into your hands, because God will explain it to you if you know him. And it's time for us to find out. And 81%, as we say, according to George Barna, people who profess to be Christians don't even read the Word when they profess to be following the Word.
That's right.
Because how can you be a follower of Jesus Christ, who is the Word made flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
How in the world can you say you're following the Word when you don't even pick up the Word or read the Word?
Right.
You can hear it, read it, watch it, listen to it. You can do all kinds of things today and profess to follow Jesus. And the people who verbally profess or flatter God with their lips are walking in darkness, because they don't understand that he says, teach them to obey everything that I've commanded them.
Mm.
He says, I obey my Father. I love God, I love my Father, and I obeyed everything he said. And this is how I loved him, and this is how I love him. And he says, now you go, and you do likewise. You know, you walk in obedience. This is how you love, and this is how your joy is made complete. Obedience to what? The Word, the Bible. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
So if 81% are not reading the Bible, if out of that 100%, you know, 19% that are reading it, only 3% of those are even having a relationship to the point where they do obey what God said. They love God because they say, if you love me, obey me, right? So this is the same thing. Obedience is love. I mean, can you imagine if you have a spouse and your spouse tells you all day long, he tells you, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, but doesn't have anything else but just tells you that. That's it.
Just words.
Nothing else, just words. Right. But then goes out and has all these other relationships and all these other women and all this other whatever, and spends all of his money everywhere else but not in the home and on the family. I mean, come on.
Catch a clue.
The basic principles of life. You're going to say, you don't love me. And if he said this, if he said, I told you I love you, he would say, get me the broom. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, or what makes me think of Willie Nelson's wife. I know that, you know, Willie Nelson's wife was doing that to him, and some country singer, for those that don't know that. And he wrote about it in some book, and they're talking about it. And when he came in like that, and late one night, and he laid in bed, she took the sheet. She took the sheet that he was laying on top of and folded it over him. And then sewed the sheet together, so he's basically in a cocoon, and then took a broom and beat the stew out of him.
Wow.
I remember that.
Do you? You do remember?
I remember hearing about it.
Oh, hearing about it.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't there.
Do you have another needle?
Personal experience? Yeah.
When we're human beings, do you really believe that God's going to accept a verbal I love you, when the truth is love is obedience?
That's where America is at today.
Yes,
when you
exactly
talk to people all the time and say, I love God, I love, do you really?
Right.
You would never, ever accept love from anyone the way you say you love God.
I know, that's right.
It's like, we need to, it's time to wake up.
Right, and it's just real simple, is if you love me, you'll obey me.
That's it.
Because you trust him. You trust Jesus. You trust God, the creator of the universe. And you understand, he said, I'm the only way to God. I'm the only way there. So you're going to listen to what I say. He says, my sheep know my voice and they follow none other.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a day that you'll hear the voice of the Son of Man and you shall live and not die. There you were laying in your pool of blood. I looked at you, I saw you, and I said, live. I mean, what happened to this Jesus that you professed that saved you, but you have flattering lips, but your heart is far from him? Listen, we can repent, we can turn back to him, and what's about to happen in Israel may stop. At least we as America won't partner with what the devil is trying to do to God's chosen people, to Jacob, to Israel.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
A strong-willed person can be a great problem solver, but sometimes a little bit difficult to live with. I'm John Fuller, and this is Focus on the Family Minute. Psychologist Dr. Debbie Cherry is a self-described strong-willed woman, and her husband has figured out a way to get the two of them on the same page when there's a problem.
If you will grab a hold of her problem-solving skills and get her to help you solve a problem, she's great at it. But if you just attack the problem and just say, this is what you need to change, she's going to fight you. So I think probably Jim's wisdom, without realizing it, he would come at this and say, I've got a problem. I'm having a hard time with this. Can you help me? And all of a sudden I spark and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm good at this. So try to engage her strong-willed skills that work and help her get involved in problem solving with you.
There's no doubt that understanding your spouse's strengths is critical to managing your conflicts with them. For more from Debbie Cherry today, stop by focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Oh. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome Son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio, or an something, or and something, and put it on your desk at work, and you know, put it by the kitchen sink, and just carry it with you, or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it: 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment that you just like catch a half of it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We were just talking about what's taking place in Israel. Begin to pray for Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the wisdom. Pray for our president that he would hear from the Lord. I know I was speaking to speaking with a prophetic man who says the Lord has shown him that our current president will regret some of the decisions that he's made. To me, that's encouraging because you start wondering, my goodness, you know, do you really know what's going on? Which means these things are happening outside the full knowledge of what's really happening
right
here, you know, which really like, oh, wow. But the sad thing is regretting it, you know?
Sure.
Which means some things are going to happen. Well, speaking of evil, you know, of what happened in the Middle East, what's happening there mm-hmm. is Kirk Cameron, he's an actor, has a movie coming out. It's like one live event of and I've been really wanting to talk about evil because, you know, in America, we've just, this generation, not all generations, have begun to explore the idea that evil doesn't exist, not realizing that it exists.
Yeah.
And as the church, we have to understand you can't partner with evil. It never works out. Light and darkness should not even go together. But first, you know, this is a CBN interviewing Kirk Cameron about the upcoming movie, and we'll talk about it in a moment. It's called Unstoppable. It's Unstoppable. Listen up.
Actor Kirk Cameron releases a new documentary next week called Unstoppable. In it, he explores the age-old question, why does God allow suffering and evil in the world? Cameron sat down with CBN News for a special preview. Here's Paul Strand.
Why does God let bad things happen to good people? If God is good, and he is a God of love, and he is powerful enough to stop evil and pain and suffering, why doesn't he? That is the question that wrecks people's faith.
CBN News caught up with Cameron in New York on his movie tour. His latest project, Unstoppable, is based on a true story. Cameron said he lost a teenage friend to cancer, and that sent him searching for answers.
That event really hit me hard. It really pulled all of the air out of my lungs because this was a good boy. This was a boy from a great family who loved God and went to church. And when he died and God did not heal him in spite of all the prayers, in spite of all of the people crying out to God, it really caused me to ask the big question, where is God in the midst of my tragedy?
Cameron said Unstoppable takes him on the most personal journey of his life where he has to examine his own faith. And he does it by going all the way back to the origins of good and evil.
What I discovered is that it's much better to understand your tragedy and mine in the context of a much larger story. And so what I do is I try to take you up to heaven's balcony and give you a wide-angle lens view of history. And we start in the Garden of Eden.
Tried to be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more.
In Unstoppable, Cameron said he overcomes his own doubts. and that he comes out on the other side of this meat grinder, even stronger in his faith.
Regardless of our background, whether you're Jewish or Christian or Muslim or atheist or agnostic, we all ask this question. It's easy to be excited about your beliefs, whatever they are, when things are going well in your life, when you're happy and healthy. But when the roof comes down and you get hit by something that you didn't see coming, all of a sudden the questions begin. And I think you will come out the other end of this movie not having your faith shredded, like has happened to many, but you will have it strengthened like it did for me.
Back in July, Unstoppable created a social media firestorm when Facebook and YouTube blocked access to the movie trailer. But that's when more than 500,000 of the actor's fans rallied around him. Both sites ended up lifting the ban. Unstoppable opens in theaters September 24th. And Cameron said he wants to settle once and for all that good is stronger than evil and that faith is stronger than doubt. Paul Strand, CBN News.
You're listening to VFN Radio. CBN News talking about Kirk Cameron's new, it's going to be a live showing. And I made a chance to his last...
Monumental.
You've got to see Monumental, but it was really cool. It's going to be September the 24th. You can go to unstoppablemovie.com or go to vfntv.com, click on the torch, and you can see it and be able to sign up for it. It's this coming Tuesday on September 24th, and you can find it has a system set up where you just click on, you know, get your ticket today, and then you'll type in your zip code, and they'll show a theater near you. And what they do is they do a live feed, so Kurt's talking to you. And this time they're going to do it from Liberty University. Last time was from his living room, which is pretty cool. I really like that. And the theater was packed. I mean, you're going to be packed. It's one showing at this particular point. And it looks like they're going to have another showing. It looks like a second one coming up, which just opened up October the 3rd. But you can go there. That's only two times for an entire country. And I remember we were so packed out. I remember watching people come in, because it's going to be, you know, people pretty much, you know, are coming in. And the Dart Theater, and just, it was so cool, because at the very end of Monumental, you know, it was kind of silent, because it was so dramatic.
Yeah.
And then I just started applauding, like, this is great, somebody's seeing it, right? And then all of a sudden, the whole theater just erupted in applause. I'm like, yes. And then everybody walked out of the theater and went back to sleep, you know? And so now, I'm telling you, that the process that Kirk Cameron has gone through as an individual, you know, obviously he's known as an actor, you know, from his past, but you know, he's an actor for God in regards to doing theater, but he's a minister of the gospel, and he's
taking the gospel really all over the world. I mean, it's really fantastic what's happened in his life. And we're just talking about
I want to do this too. I'm sorry that he has honed his message. You know what I'm saying? You know how that works? This is a broken man who's talked to a people that have or have not been responsive. And then, because the people, this is the big question people ask, is how come bad things happen to good people? And he answers, he pursues a journey to answer that. And who doesn't want to know that?
Right.
Who doesn't want to know that answer? And before I just want you to hear the trailer. You got to hear this trailer, and you can see this trailer on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com.
Why does God let bad things happen to good people? If God is good, and he is a God of love, and he is powerful enough to stop evil and pain and suffering, why doesn't he? That is the question that wrecks people's faith. What do you do when the unexpected tragedy hits and your whole world comes crashing down? I went on a journey to examine my faith, to be honest and face my questions and my doubts. This is the most personal project I have ever made regarding my faith.
Tried to be a good boy, but I ain't a boy no more. I've seen some things that a man just can't ignore, and this world's gonna see what I'm standing for.
I want you to come on this journey with me to discover the answer to this age-old question. If God is good, why is there so much suffering? Why all the pain? Why does he allow evil in in a world when he could stop it.
Oh, but here I come. All your monsters are better run from me. You can't buy my silence.
I came out the other end of this meat grinder with my faith stronger than ever before. Join me on September 24th for a one-night-only live event broadcast from Liberty University in theaters all across this nation, because I want to settle once and for all that life is stronger than death, good is stronger than evil, and faith is stronger than doubt.
There's a time to speak, and the time is now. You can't buy my silence, you can't steal my voice, you can't keep me quiet. I'm gonna pray, gonna pray.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
And I like that somewhat idea. You know, I've been having that on my heart as well. So we must be, you know, we must be connected there. But I'm definitely going to, you know, I'm really going to work real hard to get
talking
me a sailboat.
Talking about a sailboat and you just, I don't know. They're
no,
not, it's not
no,
clicking.
Come on, man.
It's not clicking.
Listen, you know that I'm basically a fish. I love the water. I love the ocean.
So why don't you go diving then?
But I've been on a boat with you. Yeah. I just, you know, I don't get it.
But that was a one-time experience, Chris, on the boat many, many years ago, at night, no less.
Right.
And the most
even
choppy.
Better, you don't see the waves.
Oh, I felt every bit of those waves in the dark. Man, I was.
If you're such a fish, though, why won't you go diving?
Maybe one day. Maybe one day. I like to be on
he's
top.
A little minnow.
I like to be on top of the water. Now, I don't know how so much down, you know?
Okay.
But I, you know, do like the water sports, you
scared?
Know? Scared? I don't want to say scared. Concerned. Concerned would be a good word. But, you know, I told this story what happened to me and my brother-in-law one time going on that kayak, you know, with this big school of fish. I've
no,
shared that. Oh, yes, yes.
No, what
sure, yeah.
Yes.
Sure.
Please do, confess.
You know, me and Jerry were on this kayak, and it's a beautiful day, man. Those kayaks, they give you an illusion because on the water, they feel like they weigh nothing. But them things are like about 100 pounds of solid plastic. At least 100 pounds. It's got to be
this
more
is
than
a kayak?
A kayak.
And when
yeah.
you sit down in it, okay.
Right. It was a two-man kayak. It's pretty big, probably maybe 12 feet long, probably. Okay. And there's just solid plastic, you know, they're built, but mm-hmm. they float more and all that. Well, the waves are really choppy, so the one side has a handle and the other for that person to carry. You need two grown men to carry this thing. There's no one man can drag this that mm-hmm. heavy. And so we're in the water, and the waves are just all over the place and just smashing us, and we're like, we're gonna go into the deep. We're gonna go into the deep. We're gonna do this thing. We're gonna conquer these little waves. So we finally, you know, we fell over a couple times. You get a good wave, it's a 200-pound weapon. It's gonna bang your, you know, ankles or your shin right underneath you. I mean, you gotta get out there pretty quick because
wow.
if you stay in shallow, that thing will beat you to death.
Right,
it's no
right.
joke. So we get out there and we hop on and we're paddling towards the wave now, towards the wave. So you, this, you know, you're rising up with the water, man, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, and you got to keep your balance.
Mm-hmm.
But we're making it good. We're like going way out deep now. We've overcome a couple waves. We, you know,
feeling good about yourself, huh?
Huh? Yeah, you're feeling good because yeah.
we haven't capsized.
Yeah, we've fallen about five times prior to that, you know. So now we're doing good, and all of a sudden, we're in deep water now. We're past the part where.
You're in no man's land.
No man's land. You know, in the beach is a certain portion where they have the rope. Past this far, you know.
You're on your own bow.
So the lifeguards are not responsible for you. We have passed the rope, and all of a sudden, okay, before a huge wave comes, there seems to be like this valley before the wave as it's cresting up over you, and all of a sudden we see this huge, huge school of fish. And I'm telling you, these fish had to be at least, I don't know, they look like 3 feet long in length and maybe 2 feet wide. And it were these dark, dark black spots. I'm thinking, what kind of fish could, what is this?
Uh-huh.
What is this?
Right.
And we're like, oh no, we're like, don't fall. Oh my goodness, Jared, there's a school right below. Don't fall in this. Don't. And as soon as we said don't fall, we fell right over them.
Oh no.
Man, you haven't seen two men move so fast. He says that I caused the kayak to fall over.
Well, you probably did.
No, I didn't. I was paddling really good. You know, moving side to side. You can get it. You use both sides of this thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we fell. I didn't jump the gun, and I didn't blame him. You know, but he tends to blame me on that one. But man, that was a blast. I mean, it's so much fun. We made it back to shore.
Did you ever see the fish up close?
No, praise God. I mean, they just came right underneath us, I guess, kept going. But I thought, okay, I'm going to be with Jesus out here.
It's over.
It's over. These things are going to get me, whatever they are.
Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey.
Man, not too long ago, I even saw a stingray. A stingray that came real close up to the shore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in there, but I'm an ocean guy. And this time, I think I liked it. Been on the jet skis, I like that.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's in.
I'm gonna get you under the ocean one day.
No, I don't know about under.
I'm gonna get you under.
I don't know about under, but I definitely want to, you know, cruise the water, do a little, you know, Christopher Columbus type stuff, and you know,
uh-huh.
get out there and explore a little bit.
Right.
Mm. You know, my son and I had a journey on a canoe, but that's for another time on VFN Radio.
We don't have time for that one.
No, we don't have time, and that was a very interesting moment, but in the water, we got to be in the water. We survived it. We made it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. If you have not heard about Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries, where have you been? Where have you been? This man, although seemingly really reserved, is because he's spending all of his time with God in a vision or something, you know? And he gives a prophetic perspective, and he's a bold man.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, you know, when you were talking to me about the one that just sent out called True Messenger, it is like timely. John, talk to us about it.
Well, you know, Rick Joyner puts out a weekly word of the week, and in this weekly word, he talks about that, True Messengers. And we're going to just kind of read a little bit of what he shared, and we're going to discuss it because it's so powerful and it's indeed timely. But this is what he says. He says, when we have more faith in people than in God, we tend to get our security or confidence by how many people share our views. He said that Jesus had a different perspective in Luke 6:26. He says, woe to you when all men speak well of you, for their fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. He continues to say that it is noteworthy that the great voices in history and those whose perspective proved true were almost always rejected by the majority and often stood completely alone.
Well, you know, you think about, I always joke around, would they even given Jesus a radio station?
Right.
You know, Jesus is on the air. Oh, my goodness. You need to, wouldn't it? The religious folks mm-hmm. would have said, you know, get Jesus off the air.
Right.
What they did was, they said, let's get him out of the town. at some point when he even had to just supernaturally touch the folks where they just were froze, and he walked through them and left to the next town. They were mm-hmm. always trying to stop what's going on. And it's like, and that's God.
That's right.
That's God. That's Jesus.
So imagine.
And then he says, he even tells us, he says, by the way, just give you a little analogy here, that the students will not be treated any better than the teacher.
Right.
By the way, you're not the teacher. He's the teacher. We're the students. Which means that's how they treated Jesus.
That's right.
This is my big concern. I know we're gonna dedicate the rest of this program to this, but everybody speaks so well of Pat. I'm just so concerned that, you know, he's just on everybody's, you know, gift list and all. You know, to be careful when people talk well of you, you know. Like people walk out of this hallelujah chorus when he shows up at the house, you know, and well, rest assured, I think you're doing good. Phew, I thought everybody had to talk good about me. I was worried there for a while there, right?
That's right.
But think about it. It's so important, is it not? Because today, right now, there seems more people in agreement with darkness against the ways of God. But the difficult thing is they're using the name of Jesus and God.
Yeah,
they're using his vocabulary, but they're not using his heart.
They're not willing to stand up for truth. They're willing to be a chorus like everyone else singing a song that even Jesus is not. I mean, Jesus is not even singing that song. And they don't want to be the lone voice. They don't want to be the John the Baptist being able to say, listen, this is how it is. This is how it is. Whether it's political, whether it's friendly, whether you're going to have friends or followers, this is the truth. Rick continues to write. He says, we see this.
That's important, too, what you're talking about, is that is if this is where a lot of people are. They're worried about whether their Uncle Bob, Uncle
come on,
Aunt Sue, Dad, Mom, child,
right,
pastor, boss. I mean, I don't know. You just name them. I can't name them. What are they going to think about me? And it's like, well, first of all, this is what Dr. James Dodson's dad told him. Son, if you realized how little people think of you,
right,
you'd be okay. Now, you said it two different ways. Like, do they think like little of me or do they think not of me at all? And what his father was telling him is most people don't spend that kind of time thinking about you. And if they do spend that kind of thinking about you, sad to say, quite often, if their thought life is caught up in thinking about you, it's probably not that good.
That's right.
In the context of that, because life is busy and you have things and responsibilities. And so, but let me tell you who is always thinking about you.
Mm.
Always. Was thinking about you before you were even born, before the foundations of the earth was laid. Mm-hmm. And he chose the season and time that you would be living your life. And he was thinking about you. What will you do mm-hmm. when I pick your address, when I pick your season, when I pick the times that you would be living to see if you would reach out for me. The only one that matters is what God's thinking about you. And let me tell you something. If you're worried about what people and living for what people think about you, then understand this. Then you're not concerned about what God's thinking about you. And it's not going to be good when it all comes to an end, because you're actually, you know, a man serves what he fears. John Bevere said, you know, this is what John Bevere said in his book, The Fear of the Lord. He said, you serve what you fear. If you fear man, you serve man. If you fear God, you serve God. But if you fear man, you don't serve God, because you serve what you fear. You can say what you want to, you know, but if the truth is, we need men and women, what John is going to be talking about here through Rick Joyner's word is, it's going to stand up.
That's right.
They're going to stand up and say, you know what? It's clear. It's plain. This is what God's telling me to say in my generation. And even if I have to do it alone, you know, I'm going to answer before God for this. And that's the one who's thinking about me. That's the one who loved me enough to die for me. That's the one who forgave me. That's the one that brought me into relationship. That's the one not only made me a joint heir with his son, but made me an heir of him.
That's right.
And brought me into the family. Oh, come on now. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. You know, God didn't. If you're a minister, God did not call you to be a politician. He called you to be a preacher. You had to decide which one you're going to be.
Oh, no, you didn't.
You know what I'm saying?
No, you
like,
didn't.
Come on,
no,
come
you
on.
Didn't.
I mean, hey, hey.
Well, we'll be taking votes on Thursday. Everybody show up for the vote. We're going to take a vote here next Thursday.
Come on now. Well, we're short on time. I want to share this, though, because Rick continues to say that we see this with the first apostles. Even so, if we know we are sent by God, and what we have received, and we have received our message from him, then it really does not matter what men think about us.
No.
As Paul said, if I were still seeking to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. This is in Galatians 1. Just the mentality of seeking our approval or encouragement from men can be the biggest stumbling block that keeps us from being true messengers. Paul understood this quite well. When his apostolic ministry was challenged, he pointed to the afflictions and persecutions as evidence that he was indeed an apostle.
He didn't point to his tapes and his books and his
website,
building and all that. And
no,
line.
The followers, the mega who.
I've been shot at. I've been chased down by the ministers.
And that's not,
that's what happened, wasn't
it? Yeah.
They tried to kill him.
Yeah.
They tried to, he was right. And the ones who said they were right. That just dawned on me. Wrong said it was right, and it tried to kill right.
Mm.
Has that ever happened before?
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on.
How different is that from most who claim to be apostles today? Of course, just because not many people listen to us does not prove that we are right either.
And that guy is like, yeah, it's all right, I'm preaching the truth. It's like, no, actually.
Yeah, I don't know what you're preaching. However, we must heed such warnings as Matthew 24:12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. Isn't that important, to the end?
What happens if you just stand firm long enough to say a prayer and then no longer stand firm anymore? Is that good?
Nope.
I've got to read my Bible. I have got to get in there. I have not read that chapter.
It's great. He says, he continues to say, if we get our security from the crowd rather than from the Lord, we will follow the crowd instead of the Lord.
You remember the crowd where Jesus, like, what they say? Crucify him.
That's right. One day Hosanna, the next day crucify. The Lord did not say that the love of some or many would grow cold, but most.
Which is a good sign that we're pretty close to the end days today, right?
That's right.
Where's the love? It was just love.
It's gone.
Of course I love you. Haven't you seen the memo?
Yeah, that's right.
I told you once.
I showed up to the...
You didn't get my card. Did you send them my love card? My card love thing? Card thing?
Oh, my goodness. He continues...
We're having fun with it.
Oh, this is so good.
But it's true, isn't it?
It's so true.
We didn't say this.
We didn't say this. This is Rick saying it.
This is Rick saying this. Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries.
That's right. If we are prone to follow the majority, then we will end up being deceived, just as all Israel went astray following Absalom and turning on his father, King David.
Oh, my goodness.
And you tell me there's not an Absalom spirit.
Listen to this, politics. Go ahead, keep on. How could this
happen in Israel? The same way it happened so many times since and still happens today. Like a good politician, Absalom met with people and showed them sympathy for their problems. He gradually increased his authority with people because he was a good politician. Then David's sin with Bathsheba
became political.
Yeah.
Somebody in one of God's people.
Because he had no authority. The only thing you could resort to is politics.
So he started saying, I just need to preach your people, tell them some stuff. Like, get your own. What you doing? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then David's sin with Bathsheba was exposed. You would think that God would certainly depart from David after such a diabolical sin. However, God was had more grace than people do. And he did not abandon David. He disciplined David because he loved him, but he would never leave him or forsake him.
That's so beautiful, is it not?
Yeah.
Because that's so true. I mean, I know I've been disciplined. Have you been disciplined?
A few times.
And John hasn't. He's been walking on water. But he didn't leave me.
That's right.
He didn't leave me, and so sometimes people misunderstand discipline, that God's not going to leave you, but you got to respond to that discipline.
Yeah, it's because he loves you, you're getting disciplined.
That's right. Consider hardships discipline. He's treating you as a son. Good. Very good.
He goes on to say that Zadok was high priest during Absalom's rebellion, and at the risk of his ministry, even his life, he picked up the ark and followed David into what seemed like certain defeat. Even though all Israel was following Absalom, Zadok had the discernment to know that the anointing was still on David and that the Lord was still with David.
So he followed the one that the crowd was rejecting, knowing that the anointing is what God says
it's
it was.
Anointing.
God's not a man that he would lie, or the son of man that he would change his mind.
That's right.
I didn't. And with David, with all of his mistakes and his errors and everything, God, this is the man.
That's right.
This is the man.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he did, right? He followed him. That's beautiful.
That's it.
The ark.
So he risked everything to follow the Lord. This is remarkable spiritual discernment and faith. It is the kind that is desperately needed in spiritual leadership in these times. Many people are following all sorts of people, but why are they following them? Is it because they have a good website, because they sing good, because it sounds right? Or are they following the true word of the Lord? Are they following not a message that's popular, but a message that's powerful and a message that's coming from God? Big difference. Big difference. He goes on to say, centuries later, one of the greatest commendations of all time was given by the Lord to Zadok through Ezekiel the prophet. This is centuries later. The Lord said that it would be the sons of Zadok who would be allowed to come near to him to minister to him personally. And this you find this in Ezekiel 44, verses 15 through 16. So who are the sons of Zadok today? Who are they? It says, when the Pharisees told Jesus that they were free because they were sons of Abraham, Jesus replied that if we were the children of Abraham, they would do the deeds of Abraham. Likewise, the true sons of Zadok are those who do the deeds of Zadok, those who follow the Lord even when they are a minority or are all alone. Even when it seems certain to cost them everything.
Everything.
Maybe even their lives.
Lives.
We are in desperate need of the sons of Zadok today.
But Jesus said it. He said, listen, if you want to be my disciple, it's going to cost you
everything.
So the question is, if you haven't given up everything, whose disciple are you? You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.